Hello, and welcome to another episode of Alec Mop, a hot mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist. I'm Alec Mop. I'm an actor, comedian. I live in Hollywood. I had sex today.
Lucky, I'm Matthew Dempsey. I'm a multicultural counselor and psychotherapist, and I'm intrigued about Alec's sex today.
My kid went back to summer school, and we have a tiny house. It's 1,100 square feet. And okay. My husband and I are loud. It's like cats fucking. It's like, and so all through the pandemic, our son has been 10 feet, 12 feet away. And today we kind of hit it as if we didn't have any kids at home.
Wow.
Kid at home. Yeah. And it was very nice. But you know what? It's a thing of like, we've been married for 19 years. And I feel like we do things to keep each other interested.
Yeah.
After 19 years, there's a wrestling singlet he likes seeing me in. I have to lay face down and not say anything for the majority of the singlet sessions, but he gets really excited about that. But it's kind of like sexually you lose and you find each other over the course of a 19-year marriage.
Yeah. Is it the wrestling that singlet that helps you rediscover each other each time?
Sometimes that's kind of like, okay, what do we got to do? We got to break out that singlet. We got to break out that singlet. And also, I don't know if you find this, when you're with somebody and you don't have sex for a really long time, do you get kind of, I get weird. I get like are we sisters or like, what's happening? Are we not? Right. I'm always kind of like, there's a phenomenon in the queer community called lesbian bed death. Now, I'm not saying this to be lesbian phobic, but the syndrome, describes a couple queer. It could be a queer couple or a straight couple who just stop having sex.
Right.
And then they just don't do it anymore.
Yeah. And then it just kind of becomes more of a companionship where you're like roommates instead of actually lovers. So I don't know. How do you feel about that when you go through periods of time in your relationship where there's not really any sex?
Well, we have to talk about it. Well, I'm like, it always comes down to, am I fucking ugly to you now?
Yeah.
I've gained a little pandemic weight, but I'm not so bad. Are we? And it's always like, dude, if the kid's here, there's too much going on. Let's find an oasis when there's no kid and we're on our own. And we found that today.
Oh, that's amazing.
So my new neighbor got an earful. And I just have to tell him that we watch this television show every day where people are having sex in the shower.
You just have to tell him it's your dog's howling. Everybody's familiar with this by this point. So
I have a very noisy plumber.
Well, I think it's really easy to personalize things, obviously, whenever there's lulls in a relationship where sex isn't happening. Have you been able to identify in your relationship over 19 years that when there are lulls, that it's that there's other things going on, you know, even aside from just maybe circumstantial things, like things between the two of you?
Well, I mean, you know, it's that thing. It's like when you first get together, you fuck all the time. I mean, that's just kind of like, and then there's a law of attrition. And then you get caught up in kids. And long story long, whenever we don't do it for really long time, I get weird. I start taking it personally. And he's like, shut up. It's weird right now. I'm on meds. You're on meds.
Right.
It takes a long time to come. Sometimes I get self-conscious about that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is what keeps it good is like, I still love you. I still think you're cute.
Yeah.
And but it's like, I don't know. So, I've never been with anybody this long, Matthew. I've never aged 20 years with somebody before.
I mean, 19 years, that's a long time. And that's, you know, congratulations on such a long relationship. I have never had a relationship that long before. So
I was looking at our wedding pictures from 16 years ago.
Whoa.
And we look like kids.
Little babies.
We look like little baby gays. I mean, we're fresh faced and everything. We're adorable.
Yes.
Have you been in a relationship where the newness has...
Well, listen, I'll tell you something. Like I've been, you know, if I'm being super transparent, my longest relationship was 3 years. So, you know, not that long, but that's been the longest for me. You know, and I'll be honest with you too. There's, I'm 39 years old. That's the longest relationship I've been in. And there's shame that can come up around the fact that I haven't been able to kind of like go the, like a longer distance with somebody. Yes. And I think, you know, there's
like shame in terms of like, I should be able to,
I'm a therapist. I should be able to figure this shit out. Like how come I haven't been able to be in a relationship longer? And so there's shame that comes up. You know, and there's part of it that for me, I think is a little bit like commitment issues. Like I'm afraid to be in relationships that I've seen in my life. So, you know, I quickly withdraw if things are like kind of not feeling okay. So it's hard to know. It really is hard to know sometimes. Am I leaving this relationship knowing I've totally cleaned my side of the street? I've really given it a fair shot. Or is there something defensive about it that makes me want to jump out? But, you know, so that's a little bit of the stuff that, you know, that I've been trying to assess.
You're an Aries, right? You're like,
I am an Aries.
Yeah. You're an Aries. Well, I'm a recovering sex and love addict. So I was always trying to make anything work. It didn't matter if I was dating Dahmer, I would be like, you want something to eat? We'll figure it out. And now I'm more discerning. I think the thing is with long-term things, and we have a great guest today, by the way. Yeah. And folks, if you're just tuning in, this is a mental health podcast hosted by me and a mental health professional, namely Matthew Dempsey, who's a therapist and knows what he's talking about. He has 2 master's degrees from Columbia. And download and subscribe. You're giggling. Why are you giggling? The cell. Did you see me cell?
Yes, I was doing an infomercial for the show. You're trying to lift me up and reduce my shame as I'm talking about relationships.
No. Here's the thing. Heather McDonald is our guest today, and she's been married for 20 years. So she's going to know a lot about like, what do you let go of and what do you hold on to and how do you make things
work? I think I'm like very interested in this conversation because like you and I kind of both represent maybe, you know, 2 ends of the spectrum here, because when we think about relationship dynamics, there's one specifically that's called like pursuer distancer, where people defensively can either be pursuers, meaning like they kind of chase after the other person's attention and wants to kind of feel safe in that way.
That's me.
And the other one can be a distancer, meaning I need space and can push away. And that can be a defensive thing. Yes. And those 2 people oftentimes can kind of find each other and can do this kind of like dance back and forth until there's more of a recognition of people's tendencies of, you know, kind of protecting themselves so that you can kind of come together a little bit more. But so
are you a distancer?
I'm a distancer. No, I'm a distancer. Yeah.
Oh, you like
push away.
You like to keep a girl on her toes.
Yeah.
But the thing is kind of like, I think that not many people know. And then we're going to go to break and then we're going to come back with Heather McDonald because she's so talented. And if you've seen her on Comedy Central or any of her stand-up specials or Chelsea lately, when that ran forever and ever, she's so sharp and funny and talented. Yeah. What was I saying? A 20-year relationship is somebody's going to see you at your worst. And you're going to see somebody at their worst. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's about how much are you willing to forgive? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, and it's a constant negotiation of, with my husband and I have this thing where we have to clear the deck. We got to talk about whatever it was that was bothering me and really kind of like hash that out.
Which I think is great. And the benefit of having a long-term relationship is that it gives you all these opportunities to kind of go to like deeper depths and to explore all the layers of who you are within the context of a really intimate relationship, you know, to kind of bring up your shit and be able to sort through that and figure it out in a better sense, which is great. I think also kind of the other side of this conversation too, is that we live in a society that constantly kind of bombards and shames us into thinking if you can't be in a relationship for like a really long fucking time, like decades and decades, you're a lesser person and there's something wrong with you. And I heard Gloria Steinem speak once in an interview where she was talking about how this is crazy that at like, you know, 18 to 21 years old, everybody, you know, needs to pick a partner and be with them forever, pick a job and do that forever.
I know.
And why is it that we can't celebrate all successes that happen maybe in kind of like shorter chunks? If you've got 3, 4, 5 loves in your life, how come that can't be a great success?
Because we're obsessed with a happy ending. We're obsessed with
totally. Well, it's like the fairy tale thing. So it's sometimes hard to gauge, you know, whether or not like, is this really the right relationship for me? Has it legitimately kind of run its course and played its part in my life? And is it okay and healthy and successful to be able to, you know, say our goodbyes and move on to the next? So anyways, just to be the other side of this conversation.
Well, we're gonna pick your noodle tonight, today, about relationships. Yes. If you're tuning in for the first time, again, don't forget to download and subscribe. And when we come back, we'll be speaking about relationships with the hilarious Heather McDonald.
Yes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are excited to welcome our guest today. She's an actress, comedian, and writer. You may know her from her years as a writer and panelist on the hit show Chelsea Lately.
Now you can catch her on her top-rated podcast, Juicy Scoop. And touring with her hilarious stand-up show. We're excited to have you here with us. Please welcome Heather McDonald.
Yay! Yay.
Applause. Applause. Look at your backdrop. You're like a professional Zoomer.
You know, my husband did this when I was filming something, and I had to be quarantined for like 5 days.
Yes.
Mm. And that's when we figured it out. And I don't know. I guess it's sticking on there.
It looks great.
Listen, we have a lot in common, and Matt has a lot of experience talking about people in relationships and talking people through relationships. You've been with your husband for 20 years. You have
21 years wedding. 21 years is when we got married.
Wow.
This is past Memorial Day weekend. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah.
And what do you feel are the enduring things that come up for you in a marriage? Like, this is where I got to hunker down and work this out, or we're over.
I mean, there is a sense of me being like, I'm going to heaven and God will reward me for the time I've spent on earth with this asshole. Definitely kids. Definitely yeah. The complications of breaking up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then also then there'll be those times where I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I thought those awful thoughts yesterday. Today's such a better day. We're having so much more fun today, or that was really great, or I have this to look forward to. And, you know, and then within 12 hours later, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know, so it's a lot of that. It's a lot of that. It's a lot of believing I deserve a medal. It's, I do get a weird little like pang of accomplishment when people do an Instagram post that they're going to break up or remain best friends. I always repost like Heather forever because that's my husband's name. So Peter and Heather. And that's bad that I feel that way, but I do feel like, hey, girl, you did it. And then I'm like, that's terrible because I think, you know, so many people are so much happier once they get divorced.
Yeah.
And they are, and they find, but it's like this weird like jealousy. Like when you have like at least half, like I'm still really close with a lot of my sorority sisters. Yes, I was in a sorority BuzzFeed. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway. As in a sorority as well. So all these things are like taboo now. But with the girls that I was in my sorority with, it's kind of an interesting study of demographics because there's like two girls that have never been married, not had kids.
Mm.
Two girls that are like me, one myself and one other girl still married to the first husband. Two others that are divorced. And one, it was her second husband. He actually died. So now she's like kind of on her third love.
Oh, okay.
And so so it's kind of like interesting. But then when I would see my friend who got divorced, I visited her and her heart was broken from the divorce, but she was just having so much fun. She was in South Carolina and it was just like a lot of rich, cute, age-appropriate men that were like also looking for a second wife. And she was just like besieged with dating.
Uh-huh.
You see your friends like all handsy on each other with their new person at the barbecue. And you have a little pang, like, is there someone that's a better match for me? I think there could be, to be quite honest. But what's the chances of me finding that person at this age? And the one that I know is like trustworthy, Dirty John. We still have a lot of fun together.
Right.
You know, I just feel like he doesn't adore me like the rest of the
world. Oh my God,
does.
We're the same person. We're the same person because that's the thing. I had an ex who said, you don't want affection. You want to be worshipped. And I was like, what's the problem with that? And like, I'll get a couple of shots in me and then I'll get really huggy with my husband. And if he pushes me away, I'm like, you fucker. Why is this a problem? Why is hugging me a problem? Now, Matt, can you address the kind of difference between the newness of a relationship and people who've been together?
Hold on, before I do, actually, I do kind of want to jump in and say to the other end of this, because I've dated actors before.
Yeah.
And so I kind of understand, which is typical, right? Like a caregiver and a performer.
Why are you pulling away? I just want to be close.
Yeah. So like, you know, but I remember feeling that too, because, you know, the guys that I've dated, who were actors, they would really kind of like wrestle me for attention. That's what it felt like. It really felt like, how come you're not paying attention to me? How come you don't love me? And I'm like, oh my God, I literally just like moved to LA. I need like a minute to settle in. Can I just have a moment?
I talked to you 6 weeks ago, back off.
Because it didn't feel like it didn't feel like that it was about connecting with me. It felt like attention for him, and you can feel the difference, you know? And so that's why it was more kind of repelling than it was being like, yes, let's connect. You know, it felt like it was more about him. And so that's what made it challenging.
My husband.
Yeah,
that's
interesting. Yeah.
My husband will actually say, pay attention to me. I need you to pay attention to me.
Yeah.
And I'll go, okay, what do you want? What do you, and like, he'll ask for what I want.
Yes.
And I do the passive aggressive route, and I'll just pout and feel unloved and just kind of pick at the dirt. After 20 years, what are the struggles between you and your husband, Heather? What are the things that are like, with me, it's just taking things personally. We still have the argument. That's not what I said. And that's not what I meant. Or that's what I said, but that's not what I meant.
Right. Well, we made the financially wise decision, but oftentimes a bad decision, to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't work together like the first 16 years. And then when I started the podcast, for the first year, he wasn't part of it. And then the next year, he's really good at like contracts and stuff. So he was like negotiating the contract and all this stuff. And then then I'd have like an issue with a PR person. He's like, well, why wouldn't you look at this and do that? Why didn't your manager do this? And I'm like, well, why don't you just be a bigger part of it then? Because like you're saying, I'm making, you know, I didn't care. And so there's been some really great aspects of it. Therapist, doctor, listen to this one. My marriage now is very, very similar to what my parents were.
Mm.
And it kind of creeped up on me without me noticing it, which is, my mom was a realtor and my dad was a big advertising exec, like straight out of Mad Men. Okay. And then when he turned about 50, he was like, advertising is a young man's game. And like, I got to figure out something else to do, because they, you know, they'd lose an account and all this stuff. So then he looked around and he's like, God, there's idiots in real estate. I can make us like, you know, so he gets this real estate license and they become like one of the first couples to like have bus benches and shopping carts, and we give out pumpkins, and we were, you know, Bob and Pam McDonald welcome you to Woodland Hills, and like everybody at our church would sign up. But they'd fight a lot. And I was like, and my sister and I would go to bed and we'd say, we will never work with our husbands.
Right.
Cut to 20 years later, my sister, who's an attorney, is working with her husband, who's an attorney. And all of a sudden I'm like, how the fuck did this happen? And I'm working with and so at a certain point it did get pretty, you know, rough. And I was like, what am I going to do? And I, for the first time, did go and see a therapist about a year and a half ago. And it started out with the two of us going, and then he started to flake. And then I was like, whatever, I'm going to still go. And I kind of realized like, okay, I hadn't been putting my foot down at all for many, many years. And I was very much like, the example of is like, I would work all week at Chelsea lately and I'd have a show and I'd be once in a while go away for the weekend to do stand up. I'd drive from Woodland Hills to like Olympic and Bundy or Universal, whichever place we were at.
It's a long time.
Pack my bag, leave it there. Okay. Then take that car to the LAX on a, and leave it at the Joe's parking lot. Then take the bus from the Joe's parking lot to the plane, then do four or five shows, then come home, get on the bus, then go back to the, I'm like, why wasn't I like, hey, you're going to drive me to work and then you're going to either hire me a car or whatever. Why didn't I ask for more help like that? And I just didn't. I was always just like that, you know, youngest of five, Catholic girl. I don't want to inconvenience anyone. I can do it. Why would I inconvenience you?
Right.
Yet he was always, if he was ever inconvenienced about something, he would let you know. And finally, I was like, oh my God, I'm inconvenienced every fucking day of my life, like just holding up this family.
And but you're not saying anything. You're just kind of
stirring. But I never was saying anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And then if we get into it, it was always like I was rushing to either do a show or whatever. So if I started to get like in a fight, I'd go, stop, stop, stop. I have to be in a good mood. I'm going to tell funny, cute family stories and like,
right,
you know, an hour and a half, stop. And I just have to stop. And I'd have to be like, hey, you know,
getting in the zone.
Yeah.
And so I kind of realized like, oh, I let this kind of build. And I kind of created a little bit of a monster in that I didn't start to go, no, not okay. I'm walking out, not. And for like the first 6 months of this, I was like, is this working? No, it's not. Oh, that worked. Oh, now it's one step, you know, two steps forward, one step back.
Uh-huh.
But now I feel like a year and a half later, I am kind of excited to like share with like my listeners and stuff that you can change the dynamic. You can. In
absolutely.
My opinion, you can. And I'm really proud that I, you know, kind of realized it. And I feel like I did all the heavy lifting because it was me changing my reaction to him instead of him. It's like, I realized we were never going to go on some fucking hippy dippy marriage boot camp thing, like not to be on TV, but just like, I used to be like, should we go to, I knew he would never go to that or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, if we're really going to go away for a week and do I really want to do that? Like journal and be sad. And I think I'd rather just like go to Cabo and like have some drinks. We never have a bad time in Cabo.
Right. Let's just get fucked up in Cabo.
Well.
Yeah.
Yes. We vacation very well together. Like it's so, yeah, that's kind of the journey I've been on in the last couple of years. And, you know, and then coming up on 21 years and one daughter, my stepdaughter just graduated from college. I have another son going away to college. My other son is 15. I'm like, yeah, this is who I want to babysit the grandkids with. Like, I don't want to try to find if there's a better version of this, of a guy like this, you know, like but I'm also like putting like he would always like plan the trips and things like this.
Right.
And I just like, now I'm like, hey, in 2022, next summer, I'm like, the kids are old enough. And, you know, I said, I've never had the money. I never went. And did the European thing when I was young.
Oh,
and now I have the money to like really do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, so I'm doing it and I'm going to spend this money. I'm going to go. If you want to come and be a part of it, great. If you don't, like, it's fine. And then like with that night, he was like, had shit all starting to plan. And he's great like that. Like, I don't know how the miles work and I don't know how to do the deals. And like,
but he wanted to contribute to that part. Of the thing. It's like, oh, if you're doing that. And what you're saying to me, Heather, is like, when you said that you're like the youngest of five, I knew exactly where you're coming from. I'm the third out of four. And by the time I was born, nobody could, like, there's a million baby pictures of my brother and sister older. And there's like one of me, because by the time I came around, I was like, who gives a shit? Go play in the traffic. And my little sister was the baby. So I was just kind of like, hello. Does anybody remember this guy?
Wait, I have to tell you the funniest thing. So we just got out our wedding video. And in the beginning of the wedding video, the videographer like said, oh, give me a bunch of baby pictures and I'll do like a little video of you and a little video of Peter. Well, I didn't have any good baby pictures, but my sister, who's 2.5 years older than I am, her baby picture had my parents, like my mom had like an updo. My mom was gorgeous. And they're like going to some fancy event. My dad's in a tux. Yeah. And then my sister just looked like a little porcelain thing. Like I was always like chocolate on my face and like a hanging diaper. And so I used that for my wedding video. I used my sister.
So perfect. Look at how ideal it was. Matt, this is a is interesting. Like when Heather, when you were talking about like not airing things that you were mad about, just give me a fucking ride to the airport. I mean, it's kind of like it sounds like you're finding your voice as an adult in ways that are contrary to the way that you were raised. Now, to me, my ex was an Aries. And New York, he's in publishing, and he would get mad right away. And I was never really good at being angry. I always get upset about it or embarrassed or I regret it. So how he would get angry right away and then it would be over right away. I would store
wait,
up.
Wait, Peter's an Aries. My husband is an Aries. And that is exactly true. He yells, takes a big shit and is half, and then is fine. Walks and then it's over. Like, and he's like, hey.
Yeah.
Or makes a joke. And right. I'm like,
what's wrong with you?
Oh my God, that's crazy. Yeah.
But how I would get mad is I would store up. You did something shitty. I'm not saying anything. I didn't like that. I'm not saying anything. I'm not like that. And then 3 weeks later, he'd go, hey, how are you? And then I would explode like a volcano.
Right.
And he's like, what I learned from that relationship, he told me, like, you got to get mad when you're mad. Because if you're mad about something that happened 3 weeks ago and then you spring it on me, it's not fair.
Yeah, but it's also, you know, there's all different ways of trying to like express yourselves. But if we're either being passive or aggressive, those are two sides of the same defensive coin. Because all that does is really try to, you know, kind of protect our egos. It doesn't give us a chance to actually find a way to connect. It's not about the relationship. It becomes about us. And so that's when we're kind of like off course on it. But when we can find a way where it's like, you know, generally it's like if we tend to be passive, you know, and then we want to change, the pendulum swings to the other direction, then we become aggressive, right? Because we're just trying to like figure out what the balance can be. But inevitably, when we get to a place where we can understand what it is that we're feeling and the issues that we're experiencing and find a way to communicate that so the other person can hear and help meet our needs, then that's something that can help the relationship.
Are you an advocate of just making your needs known?
I'm absolutely an advocate of making our needs known, but also making sure that we're not reacting and we're responding so that like if we feel something in the moment, feel it, but give yourself a moment to breathe through it, even let your partner know that you need a minute to process it.
Right. Right.
But then be able to come back to the table and say like, hey, this is what happened. This is what I experienced. This is what I was feeling about it. Not pointing the finger or, you know, kind of throwing criticisms or judgments at the other person, but finding a way of just, you know, kind of active listening and communicating our needs for sure.
My husband is like, his anger is like, I need to not talk to you right now.
What makes that anger? Why does that make that anger?
It's kind of like I know I will have gone too far when he's like, I need to not talk right now because I'm so angry. I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say next to hurt you.
Okay.
So give me a moment. I'm going to give you a moment. And when we regroup.
Yeah.
Well, but, and then we kind of like slowly work our way back to the center of the house.
I love that. Yeah, that, totally.
I think that's kind of good. I mean, I do that too, because what I learned was like, he'd say something and I'd be like, are you freaking kidding me? And then I would try to defend myself. Yeah. And what my therapist taught me after like hearing about this is like, she's like, don't defend yourself. Why? You can't, you're never going to win the argument with it, like kind of figuring out. And so now I do just go, not, you know, and I walk away and I will not do the talking because I'm like, it's a waste of energy. And then it can also, I think when you also realize whoever you're, you know, when you realize you're with a partner or whoever, where it can escalate to a place that it's going to like screw up the day, the weekend.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes you have to go, I am the superior being who's going to like shut it down. And even though he deserves to hear me say this, I'm actually not, because I'm not going to cut off my nose to spite my weekend.
Totally. You know, like, that's when it turns into like a power struggle, that kind of like classic power struggle when everybody's fighting back and forth. Everybody's defending themselves and want to be heard. Nobody's fucking listening to anybody. It's all a waste of, you know, our breath and our energy. But really in those moments, the intention, and when we get honest with ourselves about like, really, what is my intention right now? If my intention is about protecting myself, then maybe I need to like pull back for a minute and just give myself a breath, because what we want to do, because the whole power struggle, it's all bullshit. It's all an illusion. Like, it's not like, oh, if I let him talk, or if I say that he was right about that, then I'm giving him power. It's not about that. It's more about how can we actually share how we're feeling, listen to the other person, know that we're practicing some level of vulnerability with each other, because then that's serving the relationship, not either one of us. And right. I know if at least I'm doing my part to clean my side of the street and doing that and showing up in that kind of way, then that's something that actually helps empower me in an authentic way, not just kind of defending my ego in the moment.
It's messy. I mean, it's kind of like as bad when it gets really bad with me and my husband, or when we're going through a tough time. I also think because we've been together so long, I'm either going to go through my shit with you or somebody else. Like, it's going to be you or somebody else. I mean, if I get together with somebody else, I've already broken you in.
Yes.
And I know his stuff well enough to kind of negotiate and forgive.
Well, that's what I feel like the same way too. Like, oh, I'm just going to, who am I going to find, you know, that's going to be like age appropriate for me? It's either going to be a guy who, you know, was a shitty husband or had a shitty wife and is now, you know, scarred from it. So you, no matter what, you're going to get a broken human being coming down the way.
Everybody's so going to have their broken stuff, their hot mess stuff.
Yeah. There's no way that you're, there's no like perfect, unless you're both, unless like two people had the best, you know, marriage ever and both their partners died, then like maybe they could find each other and have like a perfect, but no matter what, you're going to be coming back with some shit. And in some ways you might be like, such a better second time around because you know what you did, or you definitely don't want to make sure you did that, you know, that you don't repeat that. But yeah, it's exactly, it's like, well, we can work it out. You know, at least I know what I'm dealing with, you know. It's just it's like so many women my age that like, you know, find somebody, it just all seems so great. And it's like, God, it's they're, you know, like I said, they're Dirty Johns, which is, you know, that show, based on a true story, or they're players. And the other thing is with these guys, the straight guys, you know, that are like now 50 and on these apps, it's like, you think about what their life was. Okay. So they were in high school in the 80s and 90s, and it was probably really hard to get a girlfriend or get laid. And then college was a real challenge to get laid. And then they got married and then someone cheated. One was a dad, got divorced. And now they're like 50 and they have like a couple bucks and a home. And every night, some girl will drive to their house and fuck them. Like these guys, they are like, for a 50-year-old divorced guy who's straight, this is the greatest time of their life. Like
classic midlife crisis.
It's so
stuff.
Easy.
Yeah.
And and then all these women who are like 40 look at the guy and they're like, well, he's not that great. He's not that good looking, but at least he has a job and a home. So I'm going to lower my standard and be with this guy. Well, so is every other chick lowering their standards to be with this guy. So it's like, it's kind of hard. It's, I mean, I definitely feel badly for, you know, I think it's a challenge. And if people can find that love second time around and both people are normal, I think it's great. But when you go on the apps and stuff, which is the way you kind of have to do it, it's, I see that pattern a lot. And it's impossible to really know if the person's being true to you or not in this digital age.
Yeah. What about like just the other alternative that, you know, maybe not needing to be in a relationship? Like, what if just kind of like being single and finding fulfillment in that way? You know, that's what I was kind of mentioning at the top of the show, that I know that I have felt from like the world that we live in, this constant kind of bombardment that we need to be in a relationship in order to feel like a success, and to not be in a, and I'm not saying that I'm above that, because I've definitely felt shame about not being in a relationship at times. But what about this kind of like other like new narrative has been where we don't need to be in a relationship in order to be okay?
Oh, I mean, I totally believe that you don't. I think there's so much more, so much fulfillment, and you know, and I don't think that is the end all be all for people. Just like I don't think having children is like the end all be all for people. Yeah. I think it's a gift. It's a gift if you don't desire to be a parent.
Yeah.
You know, because I knew as a young age, like I always wanted to be a mom. And there were times when I was single and I was like going to bed at like 27 after doing stand up by myself. I'm in my bed and watching like some Jerry Springer rerun. And I'm like, well, you know, I guess even if I have to get like a sperm donor or something, like I just knew I would want to be a mom. So I think if there's people that are like, you know, I don't really know if I want it, it's like, well, then God bless you, because there's so many people that want it and don't. So the same thing goes with being in like a long-term or a live-in type of serious relationship. I think if people are happy and, you know, God love them, just be happy, you know, but a lot of people do desire that companionship. And I think it is hard. Even if you had a bad marriage, I think like after, you know, you're glad to get rid of that awful person. But then I do think holidays or whatnot, when you don't have your kids or all of a sudden it's Sunday and you like don't have plans and your girlfriend can't do anything or your friend, and now you're like, you know, in your mid 50s or whatever, and it can be hard. And you're kind of like, well, now what, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
I got really good at being single right before I got married, right before I met my husband. I was like, I've got my friends.
Yeah.
I'm not lonely. I have my friends with my friends. I had some situations, a sexual that I could go to and take care of business. So I kind of felt, I was journaling because I'm gay. And I was saying, if this is it, this isn't such a terrible thing.
Yes. Yeah.
If I could have great friends and adventures and get my rocks off when I need to. And then maybe I won't meet one person. Maybe I'll meet a bunch of different great guys. And we'll have all of a sudden when I let go of my attachment to that,
attachment.
This has to be a certain way. It kind of, then I met him.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's great. I'm exactly kind of in that place right now where I'm really working on that part of it. Cause I know I'm literally from I remember kindergarten, always wanting to have like a girlfriend at that time. Cause that's like who was acceptable for me. So like having like some kind of relationship in my life all the fucking time. And if I didn't have one, I felt bad. I felt like that there was something wrong or I wasn't happy. So I always had this like attachment. And it's over the last like few years, really, I've been noticing that and trying to let go of that attachment more and more. Cause I've, you know, had this conscious thought the other day. I was like, if I get to the end of my life and I don't have like that kind of like decades long relationship, am I going to think I fucked up? Am I going to think that I like really failed at life? And like, I don't want that to be my thought. So I really want to like get good, as you were saying, get good at being single. And same thing, like I'm actually been like cool having time on my own. I have such incredible friendships that I consider my family, that we do so much together. We travel together, all that stuff. So same thing.
But also for years, I was afraid to be alone. I was afraid to be alone. And that kept me in really bad situations.
Yeah,
that kept me in bad relationships where I was like, okay, he's a serial murderer, but we're together.
Yeah. And releasing the attachment that actually opens up the space for an organic and healthy relationship to come into your life.
Yeah. I also think like, you know, there's times in your life when it is a classic that you're working on your career and you're really busy. And you might meet the right person. And then you're that guy that says, I can't commit. Like if I get this job, I need to fly to New York and blah, blah, blah. And so I think it's easier for the person to be single when actually they have so much going on, like busyness, and they're getting that satisfaction in their life and they're getting the accolades and the love, like from the audience or from career boosts or from money or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I think like when you think about the pandemic, there were so many, you know, COVID divorces.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know from a lot of people, there was this moment where like, thank God I had a partner.
Yeah.
Because it was really fucking boring and we actually had a nice time. And like, I would have been really bummed if I was by myself. And so I think it was like, COVID showed the cracks where they were and they got bigger. And, you know, it also helped heal people in a nice way too. So that was some benefits of it.
We got our cracks healed, Matthew.
Always trying to get my crack healed.
Yeah, trying to break it up again. Heather, you're so cool. I'm so glad we got to talk today. We've never really hung out before. And I just think you're so talented. You always make me giggle.
Yeah,
and same. I do like when you talk about your husband and your act where you talk about, I love my cheap husband.
Yes.
You have this one thing about like, we have to split a soda at Panda Express.
Well, those are the kind of things. Those are the kind of things like I did kind of put up with because I was like the way he is and that's going to make him happy. Blah, blah. And that's another thing where I put my foot down is like to be like, okay, you know, we can't afford this. This is what I want. Like, I want to go to Europe while I still look cute in a bathing suit and can walk up all the steps. I don't want to, you know, wait till I'm 70.
I want my own Mr. Pibb at Panda Express.
Yes.
Yes.
I want my own drink. And sometimes when you live like that, like, honestly, it is kind of hard for me to be like sometimes in a store and be, and I have like an inner dialogue, like, Heather, you've been waiting for this moment your whole life to walk into a store and be able to buy the shoe that you want or the bag that you want. And I don't like, I'm not, you know, Dorit on Beverly Hills, but like, I'm finally like, this is what I used to imagine when I was 20, going into store and being like, one day, or I could get the appetizer.
Yeah. My husband and I get into trouble there because we're both the girl.
Yeah. But for me, I'm like, I want the experiences. I want, you know, weekends away in the summer, like going to the nice hotel in Newport or whatever, just like being able to go, God, it's, you know, 108 where I live in Woodland Hills. I want to just get in my car and like pay for, I don't care how expensive the hotel room is. I still haven't done that, but like, I feel like this summer, I'm like, if I feel like it, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Like, I am doing it. And, you know, and I think, so I think that's also another thing with couples is like, where do you guys agree to like, you know, splurge
on whatever that might be? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's why my husband and I are terrible. We're like, let's go. I don't care. We don't have any money. It doesn't matter. Let's go. Heather, we usually close the show with a hot message from our guest. So what would be your hot message in terms of just negotiating this marriage of yours? Like what's working for you guys?
I mean, I definitely think, especially with like a big event, like an anniversary, a birthday, a holiday, I think this is especially where I know girls like me would get upset. Like, that's it. He didn't do this. I mean, for the last, like, I don't know how many years I've been like, this is the gift I want, or this is where I want to go. I've like taken a photo of the purse. I've texted it to him. Like that way you won't be disappointed.
Yeah.
And then with your kids, like I tell my kids, it's my birthday. I want you to write 5 things down that make me a better mom than other moms or whatever. Like, you know, I don't need you to go like, you know, and they're like, I know what I want. And so I'm like, that's what I want, you know? Yeah. And so I do think make it easy for your partner. And if you love a surprise, still say, I want a surprise, but I want it to be a weekend away, someplace warm, and then let them, you know, do the surprise. That's my hot tip.
Yeah.
It's like, don't expect them to know, you know,
make your needs known.
Yes.
They're not mind readers. Heather, thank you so much. Where can folks find you on your social medias?
So it's Heather McDonald, MC, not MAC, Instagram. It's heathermcdonald.net for all my upcoming dates. I have all my fall dates up there starting today.
Yes.
I'm going to lots of big cities and doing a lot of city wineries and improvs. And Juicy Scoop is just anywhere where you listen to podcasts. It's Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Patreon for more every Friday. You go back, get all the, you know how it works. But I love doing it. I've been doing it. It'll be 6 years. July 1st that I've been doing this show, and it's really been a gift. So I loved, you know, I love it. I love the response that we get from our listeners, as I'm sure you do. So very grateful for anybody that takes the time to listen.
All right. Follow Heather McDonald wherever she is. Go see her live, go to the website and just keep in touch with her on all media platforms because she's fun as fuck. Thank you so much for doing the show today.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, Matthew, listen, if I don't think you need a relationship if that's not where you are right now.
I think that
it's authentic. If it's authentic, if it's kind of like, you know, if it's something you want to put your focus on, then great. But I think I'm not a big fan of conditional related happiness.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, I'm only going to be good if this happens. That's just a way to kind of be discontent at all times.
Yes. Yeah. I think there's all different ways of kind of getting to work through some of the shit that we can obviously confront in a relationship, but in so many other kinds of relationships and intimate relationships and other areas of our lives too.
Mm-hmm. Is that your hot message?
Well, overall, I mean, honestly, I would really piggyback off of Heather's, because I love that about really being aware of what it is that you actually need and being mm-hmm. able to speak it, not in a defensive way, just kind of putting it out there, letting people know, mm-hmm. you know, and which can be a hard thing to do because that's a vulnerable practice.
I think that's a great idea. To just kind of exactly say what you mean, because people aren't mind readers. You can't assume that they know. And yeah. a lot of resentment builds up, like, you know, when she's talking earlier about, like, why am I taking myself to the airport? I want you to take me to the airport.
Right. Yeah.
Take me to the airport. Well, where can we find you on your socials, Matthew?
You can find me at MJ Dempsey Psych on Instagram and Twitter, Matthew J. Dempsey Psychotherapy on Facebook.
And he's single. You can find me at Alec Mop on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And you can find us both at Stage 29 Podcasts on the Twitter yes. and Stage 29 Podcasts on the Instagram. DM us. Let us know that you're listening. Let us know what you're thinking about. We are coming on a year. Our first year of this of doing this, Matthew.
Yay,
we started this
doing
during the pandemic. And yes. you and I have never had dinner together in person. Yeah, and so we have to take care of
technically that. We have once, but it was on camera.
No, there were other people there, and I was in my social anxiety. So we have to just be vulnerable together alone. I love you.
It. Yes.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to tune in next week. We'll have more celebrities and more hot mess fun. We'll see you then.
Bye, everybody. This podcast has been produced by Stage 29 Productions for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast does not constitute medical or professional advice, do not reflect the opinions of this company, any of its parent companies, affiliates, subsidiaries, promotional sponsors, or advertising agencies. The views expressed by the hosts and guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. For more information, please go to stage29.tv.